that is our first praise, number 20, Psalm number 20, and we're singing verses 1 to 9, and the tune is Naomi. Psalm 20, verses 1 to 9, and the tune is Naomi. Jehovah, hear thee in the day, when trouble he doth send.
Jehovah,
I will commence the reading at verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thine honour all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are refugees to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonour that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Amen. Well, tonight we continue with verse 9, where we left off last Lord's Day morning. Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Dear congregation, the psalmist said, we're going to sing these words in a moment, in Psalm 6 and verse 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. And there the psalmist, he felt his weakness. Now upon that occasion it was because of some sin. He felt his weakness in view of sin. But there were other occasions, as we see here before us tonight, when he felt his weakness and he cried out to the Lord. Well, we continue with this theme. Do not leave me, for I am weak. Do not leave me, for I am weak. Just notice verse 9. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Last Lord's Day morning we considered, first of all, a weak, humble believer. He's a child of God, crying out to the Lord. He's crying out for mercy because he feels his weakness. Now the Lord hath blessed him abundantly when he was young. And not only graciously saved him, but in compassion gave him strength when he was so in need. He recognized his need and he looked to the Lord when he was a youth and the Lord helped him. Well, here in his old age, he recognizes his need again. And do not we recognize our need because we are weak. We're so dependent on the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And we so know that. We know the Lord is speaking the truth. We know that we so need the Lord. In view of our bodies, we need the Lord each and every day. But then particularly in view of our soul. Sometimes we find it hard to read, to meditate and pray. And we're left with the conclusion that we are so weak. We struggle inwardly. In Psalm 119 verse 25 the psalmist said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. There's the psalmist. And we can identify with him on the ground. His soul cleaves to the dust. He feels his weakness. Yes, he feels his sin. But he feels that there he is on the ground, so near to the ground, so weak and weary. In Psalm 119, as we considered in verse 81, he said, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, for thy hope in thy word. Mine eyes fell for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." He knew the dryness within. He knew what it was to faint inwardly. There was a weariness, a slowing down. There was a struggling for him to exercise faith. There was a soul fainting. He fainted in his mind, weak, weary, and broken. And we can identify with the psalmist that at times we find ourselves so weak, weary, and broken. Psalm 69, verse 3, "I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fell while I wait for my God." He's waiting for the Lord to come and deliver. He's in expectation, for he's waiting, but he's weary. And he's weary of his crying. He's been crying out to the Lord so much. He's been looking, he's been longing for deliverance. As a result of his crying out, his throat is dried. He knows the dryness. He's struggling in prayer. Do you struggle in prayer at times? You're looking to the Lord for deliverance, but it hasn't come. You keep praying. "My throat is dried," says the psalmist. And then in verse 20 of Psalm 69, "Reproach have broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness." And at times when we just feel our weakness, we're broken, we're heavy, our souls are on the ground, and we so feel crippled in affliction. Oh, for a little reviving. We cry out to the Lord, for the Lord, the great physician of the soul, to draw near and that he would touch our hearts. We long for that healing of the soul. And then in view of our sin, we feel our weakness. Oh, for healing. In Psalm 6, verse 1, we read, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." He feels weak. He feels his sin. And he looks to the Lord for healing, for fatherly forgiveness, and for strength to go in the right way. We hear the psalmist in his weakness. His weakness because of the affliction that he is enduring cries out to the Lord in verse 6. "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Do not cast me away. Do not forsake me. If ever I needed thee today, it was now. Lord, do not desert me. And it's not wrong to pray such a prayer, is it? These words are inspired by the Lord. "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." All of us are of younger years here tonight. But we can still make these words our prayer. Because we know what it is to have our strength failing. We don't need to be old to make this prayer, do we? The context is David is crying out to the Lord in his old age. But we can be younger. And we can know our strength failing. "Cast me not off in the time of old age." Well, here's a weak, humble believer. You may feel your weakness, but take comfort. You are believing in the Lord, and you have gone to the Lord for mercy, and he will show mercy. Well, last Lordsday morning, we considered a weak, humble believer. For the remainder of the time tonight, and we will be brief, we consider now, secondly, a mighty, gracious God. A mighty, gracious God. Why do we go to the Lord in prayer? Because we know he is gracious. He's merciful and loving. Why do we go to the Lord in prayer? Because we know he is strong and mighty and is able to help us. We hear his prayer to the Lord. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. He will never totally forsake his people. Yet at times there is a withdrawing to a distance. We see that in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 6. Just turn with me to those words. We know that the Song of Solomon chiefly concerns Christ and the church. Yes, there are lessons there for the husband and the wife. But in light of what our Lord taught those two on the road to Emmaus, in all the scriptures, chiefly we consider Christ and the church. And we notice in verse 6 of chapter 5, here's the believer, here's the church opening the door. I open to my beloved, but my beloved hath withdrawn himself and was gone. A little withdrawing. And that was to teach the church. That was to teach the believer the importance of seeking the Lord in prayer. There is at times a little withdrawing, but never totally. He will never totally forsake us or cast us off. He will never forsake. He's a gracious covenant God who will not break his covenant and forsake, yes, a little withdrawing, but it never totally forsake us or withdraw. No separation. You see, he will not turn his back on us. A little withdrawing, maybe, but he'll never turn his back on us. In Romans 8, verse 38, we read, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing in life, not even death itself, will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that's a great comfort, isn't it? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never be forsaken. He was forsaken so that we would never be truly forsaken. His union with Christ, he will not turn us away. And that union with Christ is irreversible. One of old wrote these words, I found a friend who was such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twine those ties which naught can sever. For I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever. And so we can go with confidence. Yes, we may be struggling. We may feel our weakness, but we can go with confidence. We can go boldly to the throne of grace, for he will never forsake us. Here's the psalmist. He's reasoning with the Lord. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not. What's he saying here? Lord, I need thee now. Don't forsake me in my hour of need. But the comfort is, he will not. He's not going to leave. Rather, he will be there for you, and he will carry you. Those precious words in Isaiah 46, verse 4, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. We feel our strength is failing, but he's there. He hasn't forsaken. And what is he doing? He's carrying us. Precious words, aren't they? Will I carry you? Now just consider when a parent carries a little child. They're there. They don't forsake, do they? No. They're carrying the child. And if the Lord is carrying you, what is it implied? He hasn't forsaken you. Sometimes we may not sense his presence. Use this illustration again. Think of a little baby. How often they're in the arms of the mother or the father and they don't know it because they're fast asleep. Hours upon hours in mum or dad's arms, but they don't know it. And there's times we're not aware Jesus is there, but he is. It may be that we're facing such a dark trial and we cry out, where, oh, where is Emmanuel? He's right there, for he's carrying us. I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. It was true for Israel. It is true for every spiritual Israelite now. Remember those words in Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. There's union, and he's there in every experience. We're thankful he's there when we are made to lie down in the green pastures. There he is. There's the shepherd. Think of the flock in a green pasture. They're eating the grass. And they look up and they see the shepherd in the green pasture. He's there when we can look up by faith and see the shepherd. But he's also in the valley where it's hard work. He's in the fires. He's in the floods with us. He will not forsake. When we're wading through those waters of affliction and we're so weary, he will not forsake. Have you ever tried to run through the ocean water down by the beach? It's not easy, is it? It's not too bad if you just go right by the shore, but if you go out a little, where it's a little deeper, it's not easy, is it? It's hard work. You have to lift your legs right up if you're able to walk or to run. And the further we go into the affliction, it can be even harder. Yet the Lord is there for us. He will not desert us. He's a gracious God. The psalmist here, he's looking up to his gracious God. He's praying that he would not be forsaken, but there's a measure of comfort. He knows his prayer will be answered because God is a gracious God. And we look up to a gracious God. We plead with him. We reason with him. Our strength is small. Do not forsake me. But we do so because we rest that he is a gracious and compassionate God. Now note these words here at the end of verse 9. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. He feels his weakness. He makes his application to our Almighty God. He can't get through a day. He can't get through the trial. He can't get through the difficulty. He's so weak. He looks to one who is able to help him, the Mighty One, who is there. And what a comfort, the one that is there is the Mighty One. You may feel your weakness, but he's there to hold your hand and to strengthen you. Psalm 73, verse 26, listen to the psalmist Asaph. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh, bodily, mentally, I know the weakness. And my heart, it's failing. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I first really focused on those words at the church anniversary in Salisbury a number of years ago before I went into the ministry. And it was the first particular psalm I heard sung that had an impact on me. Yes, I knew Psalm 23, Psalm 100, Psalm 40. But I remember that night at the church anniversary hearing these words, The tune that was used was Glasgow. I can remember it now. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. And how often since then I've known weakness within, but I've gone to a God who is full of power. God is, says the psalmist, Psalm 73, verse 26, He is the strength of my heart. I've got no strength of myself when I truly consider it. But then I look to God, and He is the strength of my heart. Consider when you're able to pray. It's because of Him, isn't it? The Spirit works within. True prayer is when the Spirit works within, prompting us to pray. It's of Him. You consider when you're able to take another step in the valley. It's because of the Lord. He is the strength of my heart. You think when you're able to wipe away your tears, it is because of the Lord who is the strength of your heart. The psalmist went on and said, my portion forever. He's the strength of my heart and He's my portion forever. He will never truly forsake me. Yes, you may withdraw to a little distance to make me long more for Him, but He will never truly forsake me or totally withdraw. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He's there for me and He strengtheneth me. He's not going to cast me away. He's not going to forsake me. Yet I will reason with Him. I will present the situation. At the end of verse 9 again, my strength faileth. Don't leave me, Lord, because I'm so weak. My strength faileth. You think of Mary, she sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him. And you know it's good when we're there, on the ground at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him, looking up to Him, pleading with Him, knowing our need of Him. We feel weak, but we look to Him. You know, don't misjudge your weakness. Because when you feel your weakness, you're growing. Because you're looking to Jesus. It's better we feel our weakness and look to Jesus than think we've got strength of ourselves and we don't look to Jesus. Without me, ye can do nothing. So though we feel our weakness, we look to Him. And what a Saviour we look to. The help we needed, Psalm 89, verse 19, was laid on Him. All the help we needed in the gospel, all the help we needed in our trials, was laid on Jesus. You sit at His feet. You look up. He's there for you. He's not going to forsake. Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He hath said. Rest yourselves on those words. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's there for us in our youth, in our middle years, and if the Lord spares, He'll be there for us in our older years. He'll be there for us when our strength fails at other times. You get physically weak. Remember Paul, he besought the Lord 3 times that the thorn in the flesh that was making him feel so uncomfortable, that it might be taken away. What was the answer? My grace is sufficient for thee. He's there for us. His grace is there to support us when we're physically weak and when we know the weakness within, when we're fainting because we're surrounded by trial, we're surrounded by our enemies, as we see here in this psalm. He's there. When you feel lonely, no man cares for your soul, He's there. He will never turn from you. He's there to help you. When your faith seems small, he'll be there to support you. When you're lonely, he'll bring a word of comfort. He walks with us and he talks with us. He's there. He's not going to leave you. Others may, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord wrote, it was a son, he wrote to his mother, "Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he had taken surely, thou would find a solace there." Do people despise you? Maybe in the workplace, maybe in the school, the community. Do they forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Will he forsake you? No. In his arms he had take and showed thee, thou would find a solace there. Others push you away. Jesus brings you nearer to his heart and he carries you. You just think on that. And you feel you're being pushed away, forsaken. Jesus draws you nearer to his heart and reminds you of his love. Maybe you're lonely in a family. He'll be there to support you. Psalm 27 verse 10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." What a promise to those who are forsaken by their father or their mother. Maybe someone's in a difficulty, the parents go. The Heavenly Father will never go. The loving shepherd stays near, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, who so loves your soul, Romans 15, is there to apply the word, to remind you that your triune God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. They may leave, but the Lord will be there. What a comfort. Listen to the Puritan Matthew Henry. "The nearest and dearest friends I have in the world, from whom I may expect most relief, and with most reason when they die, or are at a distance from me, or are disabled to help me in time of need, or are unkind to me, or are mindful of me, and will not help me, when I am as a helpless, even ever poor orphan." Was left fatherless and motherless, then I knew the Lord will take me up. Some 40 years ago, there were some young African lads in Eritrea. They were left as orphans because their dads had been killed in the war, and so had their mothers. And they were left as orphans. But they were gathered by a faithful pastor called Pastor Rockburn. What a pastor. Well, you at times may feel lonely. Who gathers you? The great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will take you up. People can be unkind. People can forsake you. The Lord is always kind. He cannot be but kind to you. And he will never leave or forsake. He's there to comfort you, to support you. And he's able to do so because he is so strong. He is the mighty one. Psalm 62 verse 11. "God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." He declares it. Power belongs unto God. Now just think of this. You feel your weakness. You make your prayer to the Lord. And he has infinite a never-ending supply. And I'm not thankful for that. He's able to help you and me in every situation. He's able to help all his people. And he carries them all. Many years ago now it is, since I was able to pick up my two daughters at once. Just consider how the Lord keeps us all so easily. Millions upon millions he's carrying in affliction at this time. He filled our weakness. His arms are strong. Power belongeth unto God, and we know that, do we not? Because we've been on the ground. We know our weakness. We've struggled, and he's come along, and he's lifted us. He's strengthened us. He's picked us up. Like Peter, we were sinking in the seas of affliction, and there his arm appeared and stopped us from drowning. Yes, we can sink, but we'll never be drowned. I remember a number of years ago, there was an outing. The church at Totten went to a certain place. And there was a little swimming in the pool. But there were holes in the bed of the area. And I fell down a hole, but my father came and picked me up. You may be sinking. The Lord will come and pick us up. It may be there's a hurdle before you. And like the children of Israel, the Red Sea, you're fearful. You're anxious. The Lord is able. The Lord is able to take you over the hurdle. Psalm 18, verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. There's the psalmist. He felt his weakness, but with God, he runs through a troop. And he leaps over a wall. I used to be able to leap over 6-bar gates when I was a little younger. I don't think I could do it now. But what do we read in Psalm 18, verse 29? By my God have I leaped over a wall. We've leaped over a wall, some difficulty, and the Lord has delivered. We felt our weakness. We leaped over the wall. Because he was there, taking us over the wall himself. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. There he is, then, the mighty one. He's there for you. Do you feel your weakness? I do. God is there for you. The great God of heaven, the almighty one. Oh, look to him. Look to Christ. Because the help you needed in the present trial was laid on him. Psalm 89, verse 19. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have laid help. The Father laying the help on the Son. And so the Son came into the world and went all the way to the cross. That you might be saved, and that you might be helped further in life. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Oh, look to the mighty one. He's wonderful, isn't he? Isaiah 9, verse 6, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's wonderful, isn't he? You know him to be wonderful. And are you not left in amazement at times how he carries you and how he lifts you? Wonderful counselor, how he guides you with such skill. He's the mighty God. None other but him, but the mighty God. There's help for you because of Jesus in a special way. Yes, we can consider God's grace, which is seen as common. It extends to all. And people have been helped in the hospitals. Though they don't love the Lord, they've been helped. But then consider God's grace, which is seen as special to those that believe in him. How he's come in. How there's been strengthening grace and delivering grace. Will you look earnestly to him? Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. I look to thee, Lord. Thou art the mighty one. Now on the 8th of September, 1940. On the first anniversary of the Second World War, while the Battle of Britain was taking place, and you just think what that would have meant for us here. Spitfires would have been flying over the chapel all those years ago. But on that date, the King, King George VI, called for a national day of prayer. And the service was held in Westminster Abbey. And this is how the final prayer began. Remember, O God, for good, these watchmen who by day and night climb into the air. Let thy hand lead them, we beseech thee, and thy right hand hold them. Thy right hand hold them. There the prayer recognized the power of God, and so did the King. Thy right hand, it's strong and powerful, it's most gracious and compassionate. What a gracious hand who supports you, which supports you. What a merciful hand who bears you up. Oh, look to him, he will strengthen, he will help. Isaiah 40, verse 29, verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You consider him. What does Isaiah say there? He fainteth not. We do. But he doesn't. Neither is weary. We get weary, but not the Lord. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And he increaseth strength. He's able to do it. He's able to give you power when you're fainting spiritually. And when you so fill your weakness to pray, he's able to help you pray. Oh, look to him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You may say, but I feel so weak. Will you wait upon the Lord? You bring this promise to him. Say to the Lord with utmost care, Lord, thou hast promised that thou wouldst renew strength for those that wait for thee. I'm waiting. Renew my strength. And what do we read? They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let us go waiting upon the Lord, and you can, because he will not cast you away. John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He won't take you away. You can go to him. You feel weak tonight, go to Jesus in prayer. I'm not going away, says Jesus. I will in no wise cast you away. In the dark, I will not leave you. I will lead you in the dark. In your weakness, I will strengthen you. My hand is there for you, not only to comfort you, but to support. Others will leave you. Maybe someone in the family, a father, a mother, a friend, a work colleague, but not Jesus. Therefore you'll get home. Jesus will never leave you. The mighty one, the one who said all power is given unto me, will never leave you. You may not sense he's there. Where is Jesus when you do not sense he is there? Right next to you. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we come to